So we're doing Yeshaya. We'll redo the end of the 28th chapter. What the Navi was describing was how when you're constantly plowing, you have to realize that eventually you're going to start planting. And Hashem keeps warning, the Navi is saying the destruction is going to come if you don't change. And that was the final thought of the 28th chapter. We'll quickly review. We were doing 28, we'll start with the 24th pasuk. Ha'kol hayom yacharosh acharesh lizroa. Does someone plow all day to plant? Yifatach v'yishadeh ad'mato. Is he constantly working just to open the land? Aloim shiva paneh v'efitz ketzach v'chamon yizrok. So when he straightens the land and he throws the different seeds into the earth, v'sam chitash sora, u'sora nisman v'chusemet kvulato. He plants the different types of plants, that, and some seeds are used for delineating the boundary of each plant. So you should know by the same token, he says, when Hashem is warning you, he is going to finally punish. Hashem is teaching you something with all this. So over here, this has dual meaning, this pasuk. One is, be careful, Hashem can punish. And the other one is, the guy who arranges his plantings with such intelligence, knowing exactly which plant to plant where, and knowing exactly how to separate the chaff and the parts that are not usable from the food. Elokav Yorenu, Hashem taught him how to do that, gave him the wisdom to know how to prepare good food. Kilo v'charutz yudash ketzach, because when you're trying to prepare the seed called ketzach, you don't use the same instrument, the charutz, which is used for cleaning the wheat. V'ofan agalal kamon yusav. When you take the wheel of a wagon, you don't use it for the seed called kamon. Ki v'matei chavit ketzach v'chamon bashavit. You use two different types of sticks to purify these two plants, Ketzach and Chamon. Lechem yudaki lo lanetzach adush yidushenu. The Navi describes the wheat that you make flour from it. That's where you use the wheel in order to grind it and to separate the chaff. But you're not always going to spend your time perfecting the wheat. V'amam gilgal leglatof arashav lo yidukenu. The Navi describes, ultimately, you're going to use the wheel, you're going to prepare the flour. By the same token, you should know, Hashem gave a person the wisdom to know how to prepare the different seeds into the different either legumes or the different flours and bread. By the same token, Hashem has a plan, and I've been coming here to warn you, it's all from Hashem, who has great salvation ready, if you're willing to listen to the rebuke and change. Just as when a person keeps preparing the different grains, he's preparing them to plant and ultimately make bread, ultimately create what there's an end product, so too my warnings are all in preparation for an end product. So the end product can be either the destruction I'm warning about or the great tushia, the great salvation that's waiting for you if you'll only repent. And that was the conclusion of the 28th chapter. And with that, we move on to what they call the 29th chapter. Hoy Ariel, Ariel, Kiryat Chana David. Woe to Ariel. What is Ariel? So Ariel is the altar. One interpretation is that the altar is called Ariel. Our sages say that Ariel could also be the Heichal, because the temple was built in a way that the front gets wider than the back. You walk through the temple, it's got one width. And then you come to the holy, the Heichal, and suddenly it's much broader. So most animals, they get smaller when you reach the face. When you look at a lion, so he has this huge mane. So he's got one shape going up to the head, and then suddenly the head gets really wide. So by the same token, the way the temple was built, you walk through like a corridor, meaning the main part of the temple. And then when you reach the head, it suddenly gets really wide. So that resembles an Ariel, a lion. Our sages say that the altar is called Ariel because the fire that was on the altar had the shape of a lion. That was whatever that means.
How is that relevant? Like, is the trunk of an elephant relevant too? Like, I thought it was just like...
So I can add to your question. The temple was built by a man named Aryeh. David HaMelech is called the Aryeh, and his signet ring had an Aryeh. and it was destroyed by an Aryeh. Nebuchadnezzar is called Allah Aryeh Mesuvcho, the Navi calls him. And it was destroyed in the month of Aryeh. The mazel of is Aryeh. So our sages say that everything about the temple connects to a lion. The lion is king of the animals. The temple is king of the world. And there's obviously a much deeper understanding as to why the temple keeps revolving around a lion. Kiryat Hana David, the temple that was built in the city that David set up as his camp. That was David's capital. David is the one that revealed to us that our capital has to be Jerusalem. That's why the Talmud doesn't really decide whether the blessing of Eli Rushalayim Irecha and the Tzemach David are two separate blessings or one. And up until a few centuries ago, there were two customs among Israel. There were communities that combined the two and made them into one blessing. And the Aruch quotes from the Jerusalem Talmud that they were one blessing. That's why we always call it Shmona Esrei, 18 blessings. But I thought it's 19. Yeah, if you divide V'li Yerushalayim Ircha from Etzemach David, so then you end up with 19. But if you use them as one, so then it's you have 18. And being that David was the one who established Jerusalem, so really his blessing goes hand in hand. It is one with the blessing of Eli Yerushalayim Yerucha. Yes?
You pretty much just answered my question. I would ask maybe if there's more depth to the specificities. When you say that Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim and the Son of David is as though it's one bracha, so you explained what that means, meaning that David established Yerushalayim, therefore that the two are connected. But how are we, upon davening, supposed to treat this combination / separation? What does it mean to us?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, yes.
For the Muslim, wasn't it next for Rakhah?
Yes.
So, how do we come from 18 to 19? And what's 19?
So people always assume that it was 18 before they added Vilam al Shinim. I just gave you an answer that the Aruch brings from the Yerushalmi, that after Vilam al Shinim, because you find that the Shas, until today, we call it Shmona Esrei. Why do we do that? So this would answer that question. You're right. It's possible the other way. Right?
So if they combine it, I'm at 17 before.
Correct. Correct. But by understanding this, we can understand why till today we call it Shmona Esrei. It's a little strange we should call it Shmona Esrei if it's been 19 for two millennia. You know. At some point we should catch on. Yes?
I always hear explanations like that. Like, I think I might be mistaken, but it had to do with, you know, there's five books of Moshe, and then some say it's four because Bereshit and Shemot. Like one book because there's the above in the middle?
Don't know.
Have you never heard of that?
Nope.
Oh, okay, well, never mind.
Sifu Shana al Shana, the Navi says, you add year upon year. Chagim Yinkofu. And it's as though you've been piling up to the point where the holidays, Chagim, Yinkofu, are ultimately, the word Yinkofu can mean will be cut down, will be annulled. Hashem says the sins have been piling up to the point where I'm going to cut down the celebration from within Jerusalem. Our sages say that in the past, so long as Jerusalem was built, so we'd bring sacrifices every morning and evening that would atone for our sins. That's why every morning and evening we say, V'hu rachum yichaper avon. We say it in Hodu, and we say it before Arvit. That corresponds to the two sacrifices that would atone for the sins in Jerusalem. But now, the Navi says, now the sins are piling up, and ultimately that's going to cause that even the holidays will be cut down from Jerusalem. Vatzikoti la'ariel, Hashem says, I will afflict I will bring a time of affliction, of dire need to Jerusalem. Vehayita ta'aniya va'aniya vehayita li ka'ariel. The city of Jerusalem will be filled with sorrow and weeping, and it will be surrounded like the altar. That's a terrible description, because the altar was surrounded with animals that were sacrificed to Hashem. And Hashem says Jerusalem will be surrounded with corpses just like the altar. That Jerusalem will be surrounded with people who will be killed by the sword of the Babylonians. V'chaniti chadu alayich. I will surround you. Just like a ball is round, so too I will surround you with the battalions of Nebuchadnezzar. V'tzalti alayich mutzav. I will lay siege on Jerusalem. Mutzav, with they used to build towers. Wherever they'd lay siege, they'd build towers with the siege. V'akimoti alayich mitzurot. And I will establish complete sieges around Jerusalem. V'shafalt me'eretz tedaberi. You'll be put down. It's as though you'll be talking from under the earth. U'me'afal tishach imratech. Your words will come out of the dust. So Hashem is describing how Jerusalem will be put down. Your voice will come out of the earth, just like when they'd ask the dead. There was Ov, was one of the forms of questioning the dead. So just like they'd hear the dead talking from out of the ground, so too Jerusalem will be heard talking from the ground, so to speak, as they're going to be put down like the dead. And your words will squeak out of the dust. V'aya kavakda kamon zarayich. Hashem says, just like a thin dust, that's where the way the masses are going to be. Hamon zarayich, the masses of strangers that come to destroy Jerusalem will be like a multitude of thin dust. Hashem says, things are going to be so bad that I will have mercy over you. And I will have mercy on you. And just like all this dust can be blown away, so too I will make these enemies pass from upon you. And the Navi is describing the Assyrian Empire, Sanherib and his men, that came and surrounded Jerusalem. Before I said the Babylonian Empire, that was a mistake. It's the Assyrian Empire, which surrounded Jerusalem, and there was no hope. Meaning, we learned about thousands of people that died. The Navi described it in earlier in what's called the 6th and 7th chapter. But ultimately Hashem says, I will have mercy over you. Things will be so bad. All of Israel will be destroyed. There'll be nothing left but Jerusalem. And then I'll have mercy over you. And I'll blow away the dust. Me'im Adonai Tzivaot Tipaked. Your salvation will come directly from Hashem. Biram uverash v'kol gadol. There'll be thunder. There'll be earthquakes. There's going to be tremendous noise. Sufa usara. Tremendous winds, tornadoes. Ve'lahave shocheila. And a huge fire will come and consume them. So this is all metaphors. It's describing how in a flash, suddenly in one night, the army of Sanherib finds itself defeated at the gates of Jerusalem. Hashem sent an angel, as we have a tradition, that there was a plague that suddenly hit their army, and they dropped dead at the gates of Jerusalem. And we won the war without actually fighting it. So that's the great salvation which Hashem will send to Jerusalem, where Jerusalem will be on the verge of collapse, and there'll be no practical hope for Jerusalem. And Hashem says he'll suddenly appear and get rid of all that dust and bring a great salvation.
This already happened?
This happened in the period of the first temple.
Ah, no, not the...